Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is April 5th, 2024, Friday, and we're reading in Bill's story, page 12, the fourth paragraph, and we're only reading that paragraph, starting with, "It was only a matter of being willing to believe," ending with, "Of course I would." All right, today's readers. For our 12 steps, we have Anne-Marie N. The 12 traditions, we have Jim F. Reading the text is Marge O. Page 164 is Ramona A. Newcomer greeter is Chris G. Second hour host is Karen K. And our announcements is Kathy F. We have share ID for yesterday, Thursday, April 4th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,285. That's 21,285. And 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,286. 21,286. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Anne-Marie M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Russ. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, recovered. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people as wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Appreciate you filling in there. Next up is Jim F. with the traditions.
Good morning. This is Jim F. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such never ought to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing. That you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. And this meeting does not request that your share. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we're coming back to Bill's story. We're on page 12, that fourth paragraph, starting with, it was only a matter of being willing to believe, and ending with, of course I would. I think I would have saw that. All right. And Marjo is going to start us off today.
Good morning, all. Marjo in Walpole, Massachusetts, recovered and extremely grateful. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I saw that growth could start from this point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. Good morning, all. This paragraph, number one, if you're just listening and you don't have your book with you, this whole first reading is in italics, and I've been taught anytime there was italics in this book, it was supremely important to pay attention to what was said, what the printed word was, and to really know that this was extremely important to Bill. And this is the first light, I think, that Bill started to have in his life regarding maybe, I know I have this thing, maybe this would work for me, that I don't have to believe in a traditional God or go to church on Sunday God or pass the basket and put the money in with an envelope or however you like to do it at your place of worship, that he didn't have to do any of that. He just had to believe that there was something greater and better than himself to go forward and live without alcohol for a day. Just as I did when I first came into program. My very first meeting, I missed all of the information because the time was listed incorrectly. And yet, I knew for the first time in my dieting career, and that's what I had from when I was about 12 years old, was a dieting career. I had no idea that you could depend on something else other than yourself and a diet list to actually. I didn't know you had to give up certain foods. I just didn't know that. I found out, but I needed more help than just reading off a list of what I could eat and what I couldn't eat. And so for me, I did find my higher power in OA. I did find a reason to get up every morning and follow a food plan and to let go of certain foods that I had no idea what hell it was raising with me. I just knew I could not. I could not stop eating once I ate certain things. And even that took a while to recognize, that I just wanted to stay home and eat, sit on the couch and eat. And when I came to OA, I learned all this. And I learned it because I was desperate. And I thank God for that desperation, because I was to the point, I'm just going to stay fat for the rest of my life. And the heck with this. It's too hard losing 50 pounds, putting on 55, losing 25 pounds, gaining 35. So for me, this is all important, that I happen to have a quad of my understanding today. But it doesn't matter, as long as you are willing to stay with the day and ask for help and reach out and help others, then you can be a success in this program as well as the rest of us. And with that, I pass. And thank you.
Perfect timing there, Marge. All right, we're going to open up this line for Sharon. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. If you share Wednesday or Thursday on any of the meetings, please step back and allow others to get a shot of sharing. Who would like to share on this?
Rachel K.
Tina S.
Okay, I got Kelly.
Rachel K.
Tijuana P.
Rachel.
Bonnie B.
Nancy P.
Tina. Okay.
Ilana P.
Ilana. And I got Nancy.
Did you get Nancy? Okay.
Yep.
Bonnie B.
All right, Bonnie. Pete B. Right there, Pete B.
Vasa O.
Vasa.
Dave M.
So we got Kelly S., Rachel K., Tina S., Lana P., Nancy P., Bonnie B., Pete B., Vasa O., and Dave M. All right, Kelly, you're up.
All right. Thanks, Russ. Thanks for your service. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Grateful to be on the lines and with you guys this morning. Sounds like a lot of people wanted to share on this paragraph. So it was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself, nothing more. So I just had to be willing to believe, right? I had to quit questioning. You know, it's like I kept, you know, like a lot of people who shared, you know, I think I believed in God. I wasn't sure about God. I questioned this God thing, you know, but, you know, it was like I kept wanting to figure out God. I kept wanting to know if there was a God to do this, you know, step two and three stuff. And, you know, I started thinking about this. It didn't, you know, I didn't have to understand my disease. I questioned my disease, but I did it anyway. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me to be 100 pounds overweight and lose it two or three times. It didn't make sense to me to be 20 pounds underweight, binging and purging. It didn't make sense to be in these rooms for 40 years struggling, right? But I just kept practicing my disease. The God thing doesn't make sense, so I can't do that. I don't understand God. Well, I didn't understand my disease, but it didn't stop me. I did it anyway, right? So all I had to do was be willing, because I was running out of things. And step three in our 12 and 12, or in the AA 12 and 12, talks about that. There's only one key, and it's called willingness, right? And, you know, I think about that when it talked about here, upon a foundation of complete willingness. This willingness thing is huge, because on page 58, it tells us, do you want what we have, and are you willing to go to any lengths? So I have to have this willingness to believe, to start somewhere. I saw it was working in you guys. Was I willing to believe that maybe, just maybe, it might work for me? I was out of solutions, right? I had a little bit of hope. I'd been around for decades. I saw God working for you guys, but I thought he didn't seem to care about me. If there was a God, I don't know, right? Well, one of our beloved members on the line who has shared her prayer for us several times, and she'll remain anonymous, but her initials are Janet B. She told me, or she has shared with us, a prayer that has changed my life. And it says, God, I don't know if you're there, and I don't know if you care. But if you are there and you do care, I need help. And that was just a start for me. And so, you know, I started working this program and started, the more I did it, I started seeing God. And my sponsor tells me, go out and seek God. And when I seek God and I seek this power, I see that it's working in my life today. So I had a little bit of hope, and that's all we need. That's all you need. So if you're still struggling, and if you're in relapse or you're new, just a little bit of hope. Even if you're like, I don't know about this God thing. Well, guess what? It didn't stop you from your disease. You didn't understand your disease, and you kept on eating or you kept on restricting. So maybe with a little bit of hope, just a little bit of willingness, keep coming back and apply these principles to your life and work these steps. With that, I pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Kel. Awesome timing there. Next up is Rachel K., followed by Tina S.
Thanks, Russ. Hi, this is Rachel K., recovered compulsive overeater in Indiana. And yeah, Kelly S., you stole some of my thunder, but that's okay because I love you. We are complicated people. I try to complicate things so much. And what this paragraph says to me is, you know, keep it simple. You know, the AA 12 and 12 talks about the hoops that we have to jump through is a whole lot wider than we think. You know, I mean, I can think, okay, is you know, the quality of my faith okay? Am I really believing? Is this in my heart or is it in my head? Or, you know, all these questions, which for me are just a way to stay in self. And what this paragraph says to me is, you know, easy does it. You know, do you believe maybe a little that there's something greater than yourself? Yes? Okay, let's go. Let's do step three. Let's do steps 4 through 9. You know, not to hang out in step 2 and wonder, am I believing the right way? Am I praying the right way? You know, do I really believe? Is it that it's all that's required is a start, is that I acknowledge that there is the possibility that there's something more powerful than me and more powerful than the disease, you know, which can fight it for me because I can't fight it, which can fight on my behalf if I rely on this power greater than myself. You know, yes, then let's get going. Let's get to the causes and conditions and the inventory and cleaning up my life and helping others, you know, so that I can move on. And that, you know, in step 11, I get a chance to grow and develop that relationship. So if that relationship is a little, you know, embryonic and unformed in step 2, that's okay. That's okay. I've got step 11 where I'm going to build on that friendship, that relationship, that trust, that whatever it is, however I imagine it, you know, best friend, perfect parent, perfect partner, whatever it is, you know, it starts in step 2, but it just grows and builds beautifully with the rest of the steps. So anyway, thanks. Everybody have a great weekend, and I pass.
Thanks, Rachel. Appreciate it. Next up is Tina S., followed by Alana P.
Thanks so much, Russ, for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Yeah, some great shares. Grateful to be on the line also. You know, I don't know how long it took me to really interpret this paragraph. You know I read the big book for a long time before I actually, you know, and I was also told that, you know, pay attention, special attention to the italicized stuff. But once I did get this, you know, because the last sentence it says, last two sentences, would I have it? Of course I would. What is it that I want? You know, what is it that I want? Once I finally got there, maybe I could be willing to believe in something greater than me. You know, even take out the word power. You know, even just some, because my sponsor said, Tina, just believe in something other than yourself, you know. And once I really got that, you know, and the second step, you know, because I thought I had, you know, I didn't read Came to Believe. I thought, believe. Gotta believe. Well, you know, I didn't know how I was going to do that, even though I was raised in a religion. You know, I had left that religion long ago because, you know, I wasn't good enough. I didn't fit the bill there, you know. So once I really understood that all I had to do was be willing. And I love that we talked about in the AA 12 and 12 and the third step, you know, what is the key? Willingness, for sure. And was I being willing? And, you know, today, as I sponsor people, I really stress this paragraph big time because it affected me in a way that changed my life. You know, once I became willing, you know, just willing, I was able to go on with the rest of the steps. And by the time I got to 11, I was ready to have a conscious contact with a power greater than myself, whom I choose to call God today. Imagine that. Unbelievable. Miraculous. All that kind of stuff. And it's because I just was willing to believe and wanted what somebody else had, you know. Would I have it? Of course I would. So I had to do some stuff, you know, and today, you know, I'm still in that space. Would I have it? Of course I will. You know, so I continue to do the deal and get the results, you know, and I'm really looking forward to what others have to share. So with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Tina. Next up is Ilana P., followed by Nancy P.
Good morning. It's Ilana P. from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, recovered compulsive overeater. Oh my gosh, everyone so far has shared so much of what's true for me. This paragraph is so important to me, and that willingness, being willing to believe for me, didn't mean a power greater than myself. It just meant something greater than myself, as was said in the beginning, because I came in many, many, many years ago, and, you know, saw the word God on the steps and the traditions and heard it in people's shares. And I left and I was like, I'm not going back. But I talked to a person one-on-one after the meeting, a person that I actually knew from outside the meetings. And she convinced me to give it a try. And she stressed this paragraph that I only had to be willing to believe that there was something other than me. And over the years, like someone else mentioned, I had been in and out for over 40 years. And this last time, I went back and I really absorbed that paragraph. And I said, look at where I am now. And look at, I can't figure this out. I was trying to do that too. I was trying to, you know, what is God and how should I pray and how should I meditate and what do I really believe? Oh my God, I was driving myself crazy and keeping myself in the food. I really was. Even after a 10-year stint of back-to-back abstinence, I went out to the food. And then I got this and I got that all I needed to do was to be willing to let go, to give up, to surrender, and to stop trying to figure it out. That there was something, a power greater than me. And I have been able, in the last 3.5 years, I've been able to develop a relationship. So I say the God of my understanding. Sometimes I call it God. Sometimes I call it power of the universe. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much, Apas.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, I thought I heard someone say time.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. I got all confused, but it was time. I'm sorry. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Next up is Nancy P.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Nancy P. recovering in West Newton, Massachusetts. Hey, everybody. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but willingness, the words only and willingness were poisonous to me. And because my problem was I was willing to eat and be thin. That's what I was willing to do. And if I thought about, like, actually, you know, not eating, that didn't do me any good because the doctor's opinion teaches us that it has nothing really to do with the food. So, you know, what's a girl to do? And, you know, I couldn't, you know, this being willing to believe nothing more was required, you know, that just didn't work for me. And I tried really hard to come up with a, you know, something that I could embrace, forget about believing, just something that I could embrace, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. And that's why for me, you know, my agnosticism is the reason that I was able to recover, I think, because there's a reason that the mental twist is more dangerous than the allergy of the body. My brain was, you know, like the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz, and it wasn't begging for oil. You know, I needed something, and my mind was rusted shut with a lifetime's worth of resentment, self-righteousness, fear, and pain and rage. And, you know, I had been defeated a long time before I knew it, and longer still before I recognized it. And then when I did recognize it, the foundation that I used just brought me back to the same old place that hadn't worked in the first place. And that's my problem with willingness. I couldn't separate my willingness to do whatever was necessary with my willingness to be thin and my willingness to, you know, skate and my willingness to try to sneak and hide and cheat and lie. So one of the reasons that I always go on and on about surrender is because that takes all of that away. It doesn't matter about my willingness. It doesn't matter about my thinking. It doesn't matter, you know. I was talking to a newcomer the other day, and she said, you know, if I could just figure it out. And I laughed. I said, well, let me know how it goes when you do, because I'd like to know too. But in the meantime, I found this other thing that really works well for me. And, you know, I'd go to meeting. I went to a meeting the other day, a week or so ago, some random meeting that I picked off the website, and they were reading the tools, and then it was my turn to share. And I said, you know, when people were reading the tools, I thought, how about having the tools, one of them be shut up and listen, you know, Nancy P., because I never could just cut all the fluff away and get to the heart of the matter. And, you know, surrender, when I surrendered, it was separate from willingness. When I surrendered, it took everything away. It burned everything away except this one thing that I just was naked like a baby in the woods, a naked baby in the woods, helpless. And somehow I got set on my feet again, you know, plucked back from the gates of death and put on my feet, so that I could move forward. And the reason that I know that it works is because today, you know, I attract the responses, the reactions, and the relationships that I always wanted but could never have. And what I have, everybody can have. There's plenty of it. You can't spend it all. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nance. Next up is Bonnie B., followed by Pete B. But before Bonnie jumps on, I forgot to let you know where we're at. We are in Bill's story, page 12, fourth paragraph. It was only a matter of being willing, ending with, of course I would. So, Bonnie B., you're up. Sorry about that. I'm slacking today.
Oh, my goodness, Rush. You're doing a fantastic job. Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. Gratefully recovered today by the grace of God. And I say oftentimes for the next 20 seconds because I have a thinking disease, not a food issue. So I love this paragraph because it does say, you know, am I willing to? And I know this goes back to back with Nancy's, and I love Nancy, but, you know, we can come from different angles on this. And I think the God of our understanding is going to meet us exactly where we're at. I look at this and I see the progression. You know, this is a guy who initially was like, nope, not on your life. And then over the course of time, it was like, And then it was, yes, of course I will have it. This is sort of my progression. I came into this program with a very strong faith. I still fell into the, yes, I'll have it. I'll have the 12 steps. Yes, I'll have the 12 steps so I can get to a certain body weight. There was nothing about surrendering. And even that word surrender, which is really key, right? Because this is what we do in that third step. God, I offer myself to you. And in that prayer is everything that would want to take up inventory in my head, right? I surrender it all to you. I'm willing to offer it all to you today. This is a journey. You know, it was a journey for me. I've been in program for over 12 years. By the grace of God, I've been at my ideal body weight for 4+, but I have relapsed, or I have picked up twice in the middle of those, those 4 years. So I can't even say I've had complete abstinence, but I've had emotional sobriety for 95% of the time. And that to me is my definition of recovery. And so, yes, I'm willing to have it. I will do whatever I need to do so I can be emotionally sober today. And that means attaching myself to a power that's greater than me. For me, it ends up being the God that I serve. But it means complete surrender, and it means a willingness to lay down everything else. I love the progression. I just think this program builds on itself. And I think for those of us, myself and anyone else, that maybe doesn't have it yet, it's okay. When I talk with newcomers who maybe don't have a faith, I'll say, that's not a problem. Get a notebook, and on the front of it, put fingerprints of your higher power / God, and then watch for God to show up. He shows up all over the place. He shows up through the voice of other people. He shows up when we go to meetings and people share something with us. I mean, he shows up all over the place. That might strengthen that foundation. And again, as time goes on, as God or higher power presents himself, you can't deny that he's doing for us what we could never have done for ourselves. Because if we could have done it, if I could have done it, I certainly wouldn't be on the phone lines this morning. So I am one of many, but grateful beyond belief. And I thank you all for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
All right, next up is my man Pete, followed by Vasa. Pete's up.
Russ, thanks for taking the meeting. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. And now I don't read that. I don't read this as second step stuff. There's so much information in the first four chapters before we get to how it works that describe what has to take place in order for the psychic change to come about, right? This to me, what we're reading is simply part of Bill's first step. In the doctor's opinion, it even tells us that one feels that something more than human power is necessary, right? And we're reading about Bill and what he's gone through and what he's tried and all of his tribulations about what he's trying to do to stay sober. And this is telling us that it's only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required. So that is required, being willing to believe in a power. Right? We have to understand that the information we're going to read is going to tell us that no human power is going to change what's going on with us. No mental defense is going to be effective in combating it. No new code of morals, the steps, or better philosophy of life, the steps, are going to suffice. Only having a relationship with a power greater than ourselves is going to do that for us. But all we have to do is to be willing to believe in it. Now, later on, it's part of the being crushed by the self-imposed crisis. Now, later on, after we consume all this information, we go through We Agnostics, because many of us come here apprehensive about this concept of God. Then we're going to get to a point, we sum it up and we admit that we're powerless over alcohol, which is step one, not the first step. And step two is came to believe that power that we now are willing to believe in, that power could restore us to sanity. Right? Step two is coming to grips that the only way that I'm going to get well is that power producing the essential psychic change, and the steps are in place to produce that, right? So we can't, this idea that we can't go on, we hear people say, if they told me about, I'd have to believe in God when I came in here, I was going to leave. Well, maybe you don't have to, you have to be willing to, but where else are you going to go? What else are you going to turn to? Weight Watchers? This is something that's beyond all of those things, this condition. So that's my take on it. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. Next up is Vasa O, followed by Dave M.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Russ, for your service. And I'm Vasa, grateful recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And this is where I was by the time I came to my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. And I was desperate. I had the gift of desperation. And I remember saying, this is the last stop. If this doesn't work, I'm just going to die fat and miserable. And that's how I felt. And my Abby that brought me to the program, I love this first sentence. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. And I was so ready and I was so willing. I remember saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes because whatever I've done up to this point, it hasn't worked. It's not like I didn't try. I tried over and over, did all those diets. Doctors give me diets. Going to the checking at the grocery stores, how to lose 5 pounds in 1 week. I mean, I've tried it all, and it worked for me maybe for a little bit till I, you know, till the compulsion came back, and I gave in. I didn't know it was a disease. I had no clue. And, I mean, I said this before, you know, it's so embarrassing to say, if somebody gave me a pill filled up with poop in it, and I would have taken it just to be relieved from the compulsive eating of this disease. So there was nothing, there's nothing more than I was required just to have the disease, to have the desire and the willingness to surrender. And I said, yes, yes, I don't want to die. And that was the beginning. I thought I needed to go to church. I did go to church in my lifetime. I, you know, never thought about, you know, asking God to help me with the food addiction. So I remember thinking, well, maybe if I went to church or maybe if I read the Bible, if I remembered all the scriptures, that was a lot of work. And here, nothing is expected from me. I just needed to have the desire and the willingness to surrender, and I was willing and ready to surrender. And that was the beginning, you know. And then, of course, you know, I'm so grateful. I became abstinent. I lost the weight. And I remember thinking, well, now I can leave the program. And then I learned it's a physical, emotional, and spiritual. And I decided I better stay because my Abby said, if you don't work the steps, thank you. I'll wrap it up. If you don't work this program, you're going to go back into the food addiction like I did before, over and over. I didn't want to go back. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. Next up is Dave M., and then we'll take a few more. We should be able to take about five more.
Okay. This is Dave M. in Ohio. It was only a power, or only that I had to believe in a power greater than myself. Dave M. in Ohio, God has done for me what I couldn't do for myself. I was reminded of this very section earlier in this week. I was listening to teaching from another program. It reminded me of something my very first sponsor said to me. Now, I'm just paraphrasing. This is not... I'm not sure I remember it verbatim, but he wanted to pray with me over the phone. And I said, I don't feel like I can learn prayer in OA. I had a God that changed my life. I had a God of my understanding. Because, you know, I skip ahead and I'd already read a bunch of stuff. He suggested that maybe, just maybe, God was fine. My God was fine. And I wasn't praying in a way that helped me, so that didn't work. And I said, well, I don't know that I believe in God anymore. And he said something like, I don't know that I believe in God either, but praying sure seems to help me. And that he didn't think anyone believes in God before they start praying the way it says to do it in the bid book. And we prayed, and he wanted me on my knees, and I got on my knees over a phone call. And I didn't get it that day. I didn't make it past step four that time. I can't remember the guy's name even, and I owe him a lot. I know everybody who's sponsored me a lot. But I kept sticking around for a while, and eventually things really did change for me. Not eating compulsively as part of my prayer. I'm in the directory, Dave M. from Ohio. I still fight things and people and food from time to time, but when I stay in the day that I'm in, life is pretty good, and I stay clean, and I don't fight the food or the people. And if you argue with me most of the time, I'll just agree with you and say something like, you're probably right, I probably did something wrong. With that, I'll pass. thank you for taking the meeting. It's a great meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it, my man. Excuse me. All right. We got time for about 5 more shares, and you know the deal. If you shared on in the past couple of days, please step back. So let's try to get
Anne-Marie.
We'll get like 5. All right, Anne-Marie, we got you.
Alec D. from Missouri.
Alec.
Julie G. in Pennsylvania.
Julie.
Ruvain H. in Israel.
I think that's going to be it. I'm looking at the clock here. Ruvain. All right. So we got Anne-Marie, Alec, Julie, and Ruvain. We should be cutting it. Maybe. All right. Let's see. If we have enough time, we'll get another one. All right, Anne-Marie, you're up.
Okay. Russ, sorry I jumped in before you finished.
Nah,
just
no
in
worries.
The middle of you said it. Okay.
It's
Anne-Marie, I'm recovered. All righty. I'm in South Carolina recovered through God's grace and by working the steps in this big book, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, this isn't the first time, and I just noticed it today, that he said that, you know he'd be willing to do something about this. On the bottom of page 9, the last sentence, it says he, meaning Abby, or doesn't say Abby in the book, but his friend, had come to pass his experience along to me. If I cared to have it, I was interested. Certainly, I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. And I think he goes back out again, I believe, even after that. And so I felt reassured that I wasn't alone, because I had said that I'm willing to do anything. I'll, you know, eat crap, like someone else had said. If you, that's what you want me to do. If you want me to stand in the corner and 3 times a day on my head, you know, I'll do that. And yeah, it was the God concept that needed to change. And when someone told me that I had to change my God, get a new God, is what I heard. And I was not willing to do that. And so I had a sponsor ask me, you know, what are you willing to do? And she asked me what my idea, my perception of God was. And I explained to her this wonderful God, and it was, you know, someone else had pointed this out, that this happened to them also, but she, I was thinking it was on Wednesday, my father said, if your God is so wonderful, then how come, you know, your God's not keeping you sober, or he's keeping you abstinent? And I had to think about that, and so I needed to change, not my conception, but my perception of what I believe. And then the promises on page 27 came true for me. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes which were once the guiding forces of the life of these men and the guiding forces of myself, because I just thought my idea of God was he already crossed me off his list, because I had done so many bad things, and you know, he wasn't going to forgive me, you know. Even though I'm Christian and I know he forgives me, it was like a blind spot for me. You know, and my emotions were, and my attitudes weren't good. But ideas, these promises on page 26, ideas, emotions, and attitudes which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them.
Time.
And that was, oh my gosh. Well, that promise came true for me. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Appreciate it. Next up is Alec B., followed by Julie G.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Alec B., A-L-E-C-B, from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm glad to be here. I'm so glad that at this moment, that today, I have this willingness, because it is the willingness that allows me to surrender to my God, who loves me, who knows me, and who wants to free me from this day by day. The journey of recovery is long. The journey of recovery is worth it. But it requires a daily willingness for me, a recognition every day that this community, this program, this faith is necessary for me. And I'm grateful, right, looking at this passage, this willingness to believe in this higher power is enough to make a beginning. And that word beginning is helpful because it reminds me that this is a process. In my experience, God is so, so, so patient, gradually forming me, healing me, lifting me. I want to fix everything today. I want to have been where I'm going to be in 5 years. I don't want to be there tomorrow. I mean, yesterday. And yet my God says, breathe, relax, rest, just get up and do what I have for you to do today. And as long as I can do that, if I can just respond to the patient invitation of God today, if I can respond in trust and in gentleness and in mercy, and if I can just keep moving forward gently, well, then it's going to be fine. Because my God is greater than me, is bigger than me, and is a God of mercy and gentleness and healing. And so I think about that, right, this beginning, that we are here today just initiating and being part of a process. And time is greater than space, that it's not occupying spaces, but just being part of a process that has preceded us, that will go on after us, that we are part of. And it is a process of healing, a process of freedom, a process of love. And so it allows me to be gentle with myself, to be more patient with myself, to know that here I am recovered for today by God's grace today, in this moment. And that is good, and it is beautiful, and it is enough, because I'm enough, because God calls me by name and calls me enough and has given me freedom for today so as to love others and to accompany others. And so for that, I'm grateful. And I'm grateful that all we need is a willingness, and that's enough for the beginning to participate in this process of joy. And so I just, for today, I ask for the grace to be gentle with myself, to be patient, to be kind with myself, so as to do the same for others and help them find freedom from this addiction, this compulsion that pulls us away from ourselves, that pulls us away from authenticity. And so knowing that I can be more authentic, more honest, more real, more true to who I am today, I give thanks to each of you for letting me be that, and I give thanks to God. And so with that, I pass Alec B. from St. Louis, Missouri.
Thanks, Alec. Next up is Julie G. And Ruvain H. comes after. All right, Julie.
Thanks, Russ. Good morning, everyone. This is Julie G. I'm grateful to be recovered just for today here in Pennsylvania. And I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning for this brief but so profound a paragraph. For me, you know, what comes to mind is how many other things I was willing to believe in, you know, the cockamamie schemes and crazy ideas, and really what that came down to was self-will and believing in myself, which really was selfishness and self-centeredness. And at the same time, I always had a concept of a God, you know, a power greater than myself in lots of other areas of my life, but never really saw truly the insanity of my thinking and behavior around food, which is my disease. And so I never really put the two together. But being able to kind of direct my willingness, if you will, and to be willing to surrender to that power and really put into action what would be necessary, you know, in the early days of my recovery, I needed to properly use my will to set aside the time to pray and meditate. And as another fellow shared, I often was caught up in my own thinking and beliefs about whether or not I was doing it right, or if I really was feeling anything, or you know, if it was truly a spiritual experience. You know, again, kind of selfishly focused on my own beliefs about how, you know, whether or not I was doing a good job. And what I have come to find is that, you know, the God of my understanding is indeed working in my life. And I have seen it unfold, and now I need to continue to properly apply my will, to set aside time, to discipline myself in ways that keep me, thank you, living in 10, 11, and 12. And that's the hope that I have today. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Julie. Next up is Ruvain H, I believe. Ruvain H. Star one, Ruvain.
Oh, okay. I unmuted myself a little too early. My name is Ruvain H, recovered compulsive overeater from Israel. Thanks, Russ, for your service, and well, thanks everyone for this. This is a real definition of a big book study, because we're really studying this big book line by line, and it just feels very empowering for me. So when I was reading this, and I think talk to me in a day or a week or a month, and probably I'll have a new thing, because it's just a constant growth. The first thing I underlined was like a process of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. It doesn't even say here that the power is going to do anything, but I have a willingness to believe in a power greater than myself, something other than myself. And I can identify in my history that I have that willingness to believe in power. But it didn't mean that I could identify and I really internalize what the power was and what it would do. I also like the idea that the word required is there. It's required, and it's making a beginning. It doesn't say anything about this is for the end result, but it's the beginning. And then I underline the word growth. And then, you know, this is a beginning. I have growth. And then I underline the word complete willingness. I think I understand that. I need to understand it, though, in terms of human terms, because as my belief in God is that only God is complete. I guess it's an incomplete complete, but there's something there. And the word build, what I saw in my friend, I could build. And I think that's what's happened to me, both in my life over the years, and even to me, this is also a message of hope. I started OA in 1988. Since then, or since about 4 or 5 months ago, I had once a 2-year abstinence, once a year and a half abstinence. But, you know, that was it other than sporadic times. Something clicked. So, you know, the beginning, and then God takes, and, you know, then the second, third step and otherwise. And I'm grateful that I'm alive. I feel the best I have in my entire life. Thanks, everybody, for sharing.
All right, Ruvain, thanks a lot. Thanks for sharing. You're going to be our last share. And thank you to everyone who shared today on this meeting. Everybody did service. We really appreciate it. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. So today's share ID, Friday, April 5th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,288. That's 21288. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Ramona A. please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, and this is Ramona A. in Vermont. Only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. Obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.